Thank the Lord for the special songs tonight.
Been a blessing, and if we just dismissed and went home, I could say tonight it has been good to have been here. Desire and interest in your prayers tonight as we look into the Word of God. Tonight on my way to service, I was reflecting over events in my own life. I was thinking about this congregation here. And I just came to the conclusion that God is good. Hasn't God been good to you tonight? You look over where that not only the smooth places and the good places, but even some of those valleys and mountains that were sung about tonight, the storms of life, it's been good because God has been there. I want to appreciate each one of you that has come out to the services and supported the meeting here. I know there's been a lot of miles traveled, and there's always something else you could be doing. Just want to say I love each one of you here, and just looking out over the congregation tonight, you look good. And I trust that God will bless you for coming out tonight. Burden that the Lord has put on my heart, it's very simple. Not complicated. I remember more than one time I was in Oregon at my home congregation a number of months ago, and I was in service, and at the conclusion of the service or towards the end, my dad got up, and I was kind of the visitor at that time. And he told the young people, he said, if you look real carefully, I used to sit right where Sister Mary sat growing up. And he said, if you look real carefully on the carpet between that place where Michael used to sit in the altar, he said, you'll see the carpet's pretty worn. There is a path from my seat, and he was just illustrating a point that I made quite a few trips down to that altar. And you know, tonight I'm not ashamed of that. And you know, even after that time, I've made my path down to an altar. Sometimes it's been a public altar, and it's been other times a private altar. But I never want that path to get grown over. I never want that path to get grown over because I am desperately in need of God in my life tonight. I'd like to begin over in the 14th chapter of Matthew with a very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 14 said, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Wonder what the Lord feels tonight when he looks over this congregation. What do you think the Lord feels? I am persuaded tonight that when the Lord looks over this body of people right here, I believe He is still being moved with compassion. And if anything will move me, it's knowing and looking at the Lord and seeing His face being moved with compassion at the struggles of my life and the storms of my life. And the mountains that are ahead of me that I look at and I don't know how I can cross that mountain or make it through that valley. And to know that God is looking down and He's moved with compassion, He hasn't forgotten me. Amen. He hasn't forgotten who I am. Folks, the Lord is looking on wherever you are tonight. To the sinner, I want you to know God's heart is full of love for you tonight. And if you feel like that you have cut ties with people and you've done so many things that have been hurtful to your family and the people that know you, there is still a Lord tonight that is moved with compassion, and He has a heart full of love for you today. And for those of you that love the Lord, God knows you don't have it all together. Did you get that? The Lord knows that you don't have it all together because He realizes that we're human. He remembers our frame, that we're dust. I am desperately in need of God's help in my life. But the joy of it is that all of us tonight can make it successfully to heaven. All of us can find a place of victory in the Lord, regardless of the difficulties, the people that are, people that are so difficult to live with. You know, there are people in life, they're just difficult. They're unreasonable. They do things that will hurt you. Do you know if you are in a place like that tonight, there is a Savior that is moved with compassion and He'll be there to hold your hand and help you through those rough times? That's our Lord tonight. And He looked on that multitude and His heart was just, I think you could have just seen His heart in His eyes. He was moved with compassion. Where other people might be ready to cut off, and other people look down their, said the other day, they look down their spiritual nose at Him. No, Jesus was just moved with compassion. He looked on the people as sheep that didn't have a shepherd. He looked at the people as someone that needed someone to help them. Have you ever felt desperate for help and just didn't know where to turn? I just wish someone could help me out. Well, Jesus looked on the multitude and moved with compassion, and it said He healed their sick.
Yes, He did.
They were in a desert place, and they had been 3 days without food to eat. And Jesus called and said, "Don't let them depart, but give them to eat." And they said to Him in verse 17, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In other words, so insignificant to the depth of the need that is represented. And He said, "Bring them hither to Me." And He commanded the people to sit down. You remember what He did? He fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. And there was left over. The Lord was able to minister to the need and the hunger, the craving that was in each and every one of that multitude. Tonight, the Lord knows the deepest things, the deepest needs that you have in your life tonight. I'm going to reiterate what I said Sunday. But there are people that you look at them and they look like everything's going good. They come to service and they smile and you think things are going really good with brother so-and-so or the sister over here. And little do you know, sometimes the measure of heartache and struggle and pain that people go through. I don't know how many times, and it's all right. Physically, it's okay, but people have come up before, and when I was really feeling really bad, I'm talking about physically now, and I was feeling pretty rough, and someone would come up and say, "Oh, you're looking good. You're looking good, and I'm glad I was looking good, but, you know, they said you look like you're just feeling good, and that's just wonderful." I wasn't dressed in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, the Lord doesn't want us to go around with a long face. "I'm just feeling so bad." The Lord doesn't want us to do that. But, you know, in a spiritual way, there are needs that people have. And you're not always going to recognize the needs that people have in their life just because of what you see on the outside. But the Lord is interested tonight in what is going on in your personal life. And I just wonder tonight, when they took the food and they passed it, if we had some baskets and began just start with Brother Carl and walked around in the congregation and we'd all been without eating for 3 days, wouldn't we all want something to eat?
Yeah.
And then we come over to one of you men that thinks you're so tough. Lord help us. We think we're so strong, don't we? I can handle it. And everybody else is eating and they bring the food along and say, "Oh, I'm fine. I don't need any. I've got it covered. I'm okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? I wonder how many times we do that with God. I wonder how many times we try in our own strength, in our own sufficiency, to preserve that outer shell that everybody has to an extent. At the same time, the Lord is looking on exactly where we are tonight. And He's moved with compassion at our struggles, at our pain. Those of you, and you may say, Brother Michael, no one here. Those of you that go to bed at night and your pillow is wet with your tears and nobody knows what you're going through, there is a Savior that loves you. And He wants to minister to the very depth of your spiritual needs tonight. Does anybody here besides me have needs in their life? Do you know what a need is? A need is a place of lack. It is a place of weakness. I am not able to make it without the help of my Savior. I'm not able to make it. I am daily in desperate need for God's grace, for His comfort, for His strength. And without that, I'm very needy. How about you tonight? My personalizes it. Do you have some spiritual needs tonight? You know that the Lord said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." The poor in spirit are those that are needy. And the Lord wasn't saying, "Oh, you're not spiritual if you're needy." Rather, He was saying, if you are needy and are willing to recognize it and acknowledge it, He said, you are blessed. Because God will not minister to us adequately unless we are willing to acknowledge that I have a need. I have a struggle. I'm having a problem. And we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be embarrassed. There are different needs that people have. Some needs that people have it's sin. Hidden addictions in people's life that are so frequently covered up. All the time coming to service, sometimes testifying, and all the time there are secret addictions and strongholds that the devil has in your life. Do you know the Lord is moved with compassion? And sometimes people are so afraid of acknowledging their need because what are people going to think? Or what is God? And I've got to protect myself. Folks, the answer tonight to getting victory is going to be found in acknowledging that I have a need in my life. I have a problem. And if it's sin, there is one tonight that is able to change the course that has kept you bound in the privacy of your life. There is a power tonight that can break that. Do you know that there are family traits? All of us have family traits, don't we? There's a few of you. There are things that can be passed down. There can be weaknesses, family weaknesses, that can be passed down from generation to generation. You read about in the Scripture, and this was talking about sin, and because of time, I'm not going to turn and read it. But some of the kings of Israel, you turn and read and it said they sinned. They did wrong in the eyes of God because they followed in the footsteps. They followed after their father and their mother. There were traits and characteristics that they had grown up with. And they just carried them right on. And it caused heartache in life. There are things in life, you may feel like that you've been wounded. You may feel like that you're underprivileged because of how you were raised or family traits that are in your life. Folks, all of us have personality today. All of us have uniqueness in our personalities, and there are personality traits that run through families. And I will say some of those things, there are some of those, they need to be brought in subjection to the will of God. Yeah. And I can look at my life and say, Lord, it's impossible because my dad was that way, and my grandfather was that way, and now I'm that way, and there's no hope for me. But do you recognize tonight that when we can begin to acknowledge there is a problem, When we can begin to acknowledge that this trait is something that, Lord, I know You're not pleased with it, and I don't want to pass it along to my children. Folks, and I want to say especially to the men here tonight, it is time that you step up and be a spiritual man. If there have been things that have been passed down in your families, it's time to stop at the cross, that you not pass those things down to your family. Anger. You know, there are certain families that anger is a great weakness. It's a family weakness. There are some families that are just quiet as mice. You can't hardly get them to open their mouth. And you know, there can be weakness in that too, isn't there? Get upset. I said the other day, give them the silent treatment. That's just as carnal as open your mouth sometimes. What's motivating it? But there are these family traits that can go from generation to generation that we need the help of the Lord to be a temperate people, a people that have the grace of God working in our life. But how will we ever find the victory if we don't say, Lord, that's my spiritual need. I have a lack in my life, and Lord, I need some help here. You know, that's when the Lord will begin to minister. I want to mention a few family traits, and there's a big list of them, and I'm just going to share a few. Materialism. There are families that are just, it seems like it's a family trait that they're obsessed almost with material things. They always have to have the biggest and best and nicest, and they want you to know it. And that's what they put value on, or their possessions. And when you grow up with that, it is going to be natural for that trait to be in your life. Until we start to recognize that that's really not what the Lord wants. And that's when we acknowledge the need that God can begin to work. Prejudices. You know, prejudices, there are prejudices of all kinds. It's time that those things stop. You grow up hearing something about people, prejudices against certain people of certain economic status, those that have certain, maybe from different cultures, different races. Folks, it's time that there is a need there. I've been raised in this. How can I do differently? The Lord can begin to work when we acknowledge there's a need. But if we don't acknowledge there's a need, we're going to continue to perpetuate that thing in the family. There are families that have a measure of pride about who they are and who they think they are. Do you know my ancestry? Do you know who I am? Do you know how educated I am? Do you know how qualified I am? And it permeates their dealings with other people. There's just this egotistical spirit of pride. Folks, that's contrary to the spirit of humility that the Lord wants us to have. But how can we ever break free of that? By recognizing that I have a need in my life. And then God can begin to minister unforgiveness. And you say, well, how is that a family thing? Do you know how they treated my grandparents? Do you know there is bitterness that I have watched go from generation to generation to generation? And I know three generations. And I wonder, when is it going to stop? When is someone in the family going to say, enough is enough? We need to forgive. We need to let go. We need to forgive all of the things that were done wrong to us and give it to the Lord and not live under the bondage of how they treated my grandma.
Amen.
I won't come to church because the sister sitting over there treated my dad a certain way. They get up to preach and I won't listen to them. I don't have any confidence in them. Well, why not? Well, because my dad said, or my mom. Be careful, saints. Those kinds of things have a way of having far-reaching effects. If there is a problem and you're struggling with an attitude, is that not normal? Has anybody here not had to struggle with a negative spirit and in deal you knew if you didn't bring it to the Lord, it would turn into bitterness or unforgiveness? If you haven't, there's probably already some bitterness in your life. Because there's going to be things happen in life that are going to hurt us. Saints of God get hurt. But I'll tell you, when you get hurt, you are in a very precarious place. I found it so. When I've been very... And I'm not talking about people... Some people get hurt if you look at them sideways. They didn't shake my hand. Did you see how they went the other direction when I started? Lord, have mercy. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves, folks. Don't be so sensitive. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about things that are truly hurtful things that happen. Things that wound the depth of our spirit. I've been there before and I recognized I was in a dangerous place. Because the devil would be there to capitalize on that. And I don't want the hurt or what someone else did wrong. Why should I let that steal my joy? I need to take care of it. I don't want to pass that down to my family. I don't want my wife to have to struggle with that. Dad needs to do business with God and say, Lord, I've got a need right now. And there is no disgrace tonight. Brothers and sisters, there's no disgrace. Listen now. There's no disgrace to coming to the Lord and say, Lord, I am struggling with an attitude. Because if you're struggling, do you know what it means? It means you haven't given in to it. It means you're still fighting it. And Lord, I want to come out on the victorious side. So Lord, I have a spiritual need. And I need some help that I can be able to really commit this to You and forgive and love in spite of the pain that it still causes and still brings. When the Lord looks on you tonight, He's moved with compassion. You know, there have been so many in our world that are victims of abuse. And you may say, Brother Michael, why are you bringing that out in this kind of a group? You know what I have found through the years? Times when I, in my human thinking, thought, there's no need to talk about these kinds of things. And then later I found out, Lord, why? There are a lot of hurting people in our world. And just because we love God does not make us exempt from some of the pain that comes in life. Abuses. Do you know it takes a work of God to be able to go to move on from areas of abuse and still have quality of life? And it doesn't always all happen at one time either. There's a time and growth. But we start mending and we can start overcoming and start being able to move out of that circle of abuse and the pain and the scars that it has left when we can come and say, Lord, I have a need. And it may go way back to things I suffered as a child. You know what? So often, statistically, and I'm not talking about under the umbrella of grace, but statistically, so often, the victim becomes the abuser. And when the Lord looks on, if you have been an abuser, do you know that the Lord has a heart full of compassion for you tonight? Brethren, I don't know how you treat your wife behind closed doors. I don't know. But I know enough to say that I know a lot of professing Christians that do not treat their wives anywhere close to the love and the honor that they ought to be treating their wives. And I want to say tonight that there is a place that those things that have gone on for years, when you will stop and look at your own life and say, Lord, I have a need. You're going to begin to find that there is the place, that is the beginning of victory. When you can acknowledge, I have a need. There's a lot of carnality in people's homes. We've talked a lot about homes. For whatever reason, it's what the Lord's done in this meeting. There's a lot of carnality going on in homes, folks. It ought not to be. Amen. It ought not to be. And there's something better for your marriage than raising your voice at your companion.
There's something better. I want to say this. You should never raise your hand to your companion. Never raise your hand. Husbands and wives, this goes both ways. This goes both ways. And there is no this carnality and this yelling back. Folks, God has something better for your home than that tonight. God has something better. And we say it becomes this vicious cycle. How do we break out of it? It begins with acknowledging that I have a spiritual need. I need some help, Lord. Do you know the Lord is moved with compassion tonight? And when you feel like the Lord's just there in this judgment, ready to cut, no. The Lord is there and His heart's full of compassion. And He's saying, I want to minister to the need that's in your life. But we have to acknowledge it. We have to come to grips with who we are. Deep-seated areas of resentments. Spoke about unforgiveness. I know I've said this multiple times behind this pulpit. Brother Austin used to tell us that he thought more professing saints, we're not talking about the world now, we're talking about us here, that more professing saints would miss heaven over bitterness and unforgiveness than anything else. Do you realize that the Lord isn't wanting to cut any of us off tonight? That He has something better? We say, Lord, I've deep, it's down deep, and I'm hurt, and I'm holding on to something, that when we can come and say, Lord, I have a need, the Lord can be say, I have been waiting for You to come, and He's going to put His arms around you, and He's going to love you, and He's going to begin to minister grace to enable you to be able to forgive and let go of the bitterness and the unforgiveness. But we have to come. And when the basket comes our way, well, I'm okay. But Lord, I am hungry and I have a need and I want to eat of what the Lord has provided me with. I mentioned sin. You know, there may be things tonight that you love the Lord. And I want you to tell you young people something, especially tonight. There are things that you will struggle with as a young person that you will start feeling very abnormal. And you will start thinking sometimes that you're struggling more with it than anybody else and you're just, for some reason, just different. And I want you to know tonight, the Scripture says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape. If there are things in your life, if there are desires, if there are pulls to the world, if there are things in your mind that it seems like you're just battling, and the devil will not leave you alone, I want you to know that we've been there. You're not strange. That's part of the battle.
Amen.
And when you are in that place and you love the Lord, you haven't backslidden, that's the time when you're in that struggle and it just seems like it's wearing you down to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm tired. And it feels like the temptation is about to overcome me. And Lord, I don't want to go back on You. The Lord's going to be there to just welcome you with His arms again and say, I love you, and begin to minister something to get you through tomorrow with victory. And the next day, He'll give you what you need for that day. Aren't you thankful to have a Lord like this tonight? Aren't you thankful that there is one that we can come to with any need that we have, with any problem, with any burden? Do you know that, and before you take exception to my statement, hear me out. Do you know that spiritual failure never killed anybody? When you brought that failure back to God. Spiritual failure will kill you when you just put it behind you and just forget it, or you cover it over as if it didn't happen and go on. Folks, it'll kill you spiritually. But if you have failed tonight, there's an answer to that. And the Lord's saying, if you'll just come to Me, bring your failure. Bring the place that you stumbled.
And don't forget it. Don't feel like you need to cover up. The Scripture says over in Isaiah 42, in the third verse, said, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." If you have a desire tonight to serve the Lord, if you have a desire tonight, in spite of personality problems, family issues, personal weaknesses, and folks, do we not all have places of weakness? And if you don't, you're too proud. You're self-righteous. Is that too straight? I've seen... You're self-righteous. I told you, preacher, say it like it is. If you don't think you have any weaknesses, that's your problem, and you're never going to get help until you look yourself in the mirror and say, "I am self-righteous." How many people do that? Do you remember? I remember there was a sister right back that sat in that back seat a few years ago during a revival here, and I started talking about being a busybody. And I said, "I have never yet had someone say, 'Oh, I'm a busybody.'" There's a sister that stood up in the back and said, "I'm a busybody, and I want the Lord to help me."
Amen.
I don't know if she is now or not, but I will tell you the key to breaking the power of things, of weaknesses and needs in the life is acknowledging it.
Right.
And just because you're weak doesn't mean you're not spiritual. Didn't Paul say something about weakness and being strong? And didn't he say something about that?
Yeah.
He had a need, did he not? And he brought it to the Lord. He sought the Lord for it. "Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities." What is an infirmity but a need? It's a weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's what makes spiritual giants tonight, folks. This is what makes us strong, is when we acknowledge I'm struggling or I have a weakness here, and I acknowledge it, and Lord, I need something beyond myself. And that's when we come out victoriously. We don't walk away saying, "I'm so spiritual." We walk away giving God praise because I couldn't have made it by myself. I remember times in tears down at my bedside asking God to help me to forgive, to give me a place of peace where my mind was in turmoil, and the Spirit of the Lord came in and did something for me that I could not do for myself. But where would I be tonight if I wasn't willing to get down and say, "Lord, I have a need in my life."
Right.
Folks, this is the key to victory tonight. It's the key to strength. It's the key to strong marriages.
Amen.
Strong marriages, being willing and able to acknowledge a need to your spouse. That I'm not what I should have been right here. Don't forget what manner of man you are, but bring that need to the Lord and let the Lord start feeding you. Let the Lord start giving you of what He has in His basket tonight. There are things that people are afraid of exposure. There are too many things going on in people's private lives, and they're afraid of exposure. But folks, exposure brings freedom. Exposure liberates, because now at least you can start doing business with God. We don't need to be afraid or ashamed or embarrassed or worry about what people are thinking. Folks, our desire ought to be, "Lord, I want to make heaven at any cost. Whatever it takes, whatever shame I have to bear, Lord, I want to make heaven. And so I'm going to come, Lord, and acknowledge my need." And so many times when we have needs in our life, we build that wall.
Yeah.
I want you to know something tonight. There is a lot of compassion right here at this altar.
Right.
Dealt with so many people and that exposed things that in their mind they thought, "I'm going to be cut off and everybody's just going to think you did what?" That's not what they found among the saints. They found with true people that are truly God's had a heart of compassion, wanting them to be restored. And what can we do? Let's work with you. Let's pray through this. The Lord has victory. There's a lot of compassion at this altar tonight. And if there are things that you're afraid of bringing to the Lord, I want you to know the Lord's heart is full of compassion, and so are God's people. Because I want us all to make it tonight. We can't afford, folks, to cover up. Amen. He that covereth his sins
shall not
prosper.
But whoso
confesseth and forsaketh them
shall
have mercy. And if you will allow me the liberty tonight, I'm not just talking about sin. I'm talking about my needs.
Amen.
If I acknowledge my need and confess my need, I'm going to find a place of healing, a place of victory, a place that I can start growing. Confession has a way of liberating. Until we confess the spiritual needs that we have, there are areas that we're never going to be able to start healing.
Right.
To confess means to take ownership. Is there anything in our life tonight that we need to take ownership of? We look in the mirror and think, well, it was them. It's time for you to take ownership of your needs. And you're going to begin to find that God is going to work and do something special in your life. Confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. Confess, acknowledge, take ownership of where you're at tonight. Take ownership of the needs that are in your life. And know the Lord will work. I'd like to close with one more passage of Scripture. In the 4th chapter of Hebrews in the 15th verse. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, knowing that there is a Lord, there is a Savior this morning that looks down exactly where each of us individually are. He knows your secrets. He knows your personal struggles. He knows your insecurities. He knows those family traits that you're just struggling with, and I don't want to be like that. And the Lord knows those things. And He's there and He wants to minister. He said, knowing that there's that kind of a Lord, He said, let us come boldly or with assurance. Come with assurance to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Do you know that when we come to the Lord, the first thing that He gives, it wasn't grace, it was mercy. I am so thankful that we can come to the Lord and find mercy. And then we shall obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does anybody have a spiritual need tonight? We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be embarrassed. But we can come with assurance to a Lord who's moved with compassion. And grace, the nature of grace is that I didn't earn it and I didn't deserve it, but the Lord gave it anyway. That is the nature of God's grace tonight. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. All because, what's it say? Because what? We do not carry everything to God in prayer. As we stand and sing a song, I want you to know that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What would you like the Lord to do for you tonight? Don't let the path to the Lord, that little path from where you sit down to this altar of prayer, folks, let's not let it get grown over. But let's just come to the Lord and open ourselves up and know that that is the avenue for victory and for healing. Amen.